You might like to turn in your Bible to Genesis and chapter 1. Genesis and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, in your day, your time, Spirit of God, thank you. Here we are. Give us the help we need in order that we might have the understanding that pleases you and profits us. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. So as we look to you, God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in the light of that, Genesis chapter 1, and you would recall in the end of chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And we shared this morning over in chapter 2 and verse 3, 1, 2, 3, and that God blessed the seventh day. And all that God had in mind when he created Genesis and all that is involved in creation, including us humans, all that he has in mind, he's going to bless it. He rested. He's finished. The ball is set in motion. The book has been written. The pages are to be turned. It's all in motion. And it's very good. And the word blessed, as we shared it a little bit to understand it. God said, when I bless something, I'm going to go and make sure it succeeds. So when I bless anything, I'm telling you, I'm going to follow through and make it work. It is absolutely going to work because I'm doing it. That's what I'm going to do. So when I tell you I'm blessing something, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to work. And God blessed the seventh day. So when we turn the pages of the Bible, we understand what? God is always good. He is just good because he's God. And when it comes jumping all along to Romans 8 and all of that, here we are believers on planet Earth going through whatever. And what do you tell us, God? Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. That's what they do. To them that love God. You're going to do what you're going to do. That's right. That's right. But trial, trouble, everything's there. But God said, I'm going to do it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and we shared a little bit about to try to understand and be reminded of it, God blesses. God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we bless God. God, we understand you're blessing us. You have given us an awesome supply. It comes out of your heart, out of your heaven. It comes to us in all of its fullness. And there's nothing chintzy about it. It is all of you in all spiritual blessings. Everything at God's command, in God's wonderful mind and heart, is yours. So God, having given us such success, such surety, God, we proceed. So we speak well of you. We blessed be God that comforts us. Blessed be the God that gives us hope. God gives us all these things. We thank you. That's what we're saying. Blessed God. Thank God that he does what he says and says what he means. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to the book of Numbers. And Numbers chapter 13 for a moment. And in Numbers chapter 13, may I pick up and remind you, in the process, we look together and we walk by faith and not by sight. And we share together over these times. God, here we are looking, and you with Israel, using Israel's history, if I can, using Israel's history, God's going to go a little by little. That's what he does. By that I mean, Israel has all kinds of growing up to do, all kinds of difficulty in growing and doing. I'm trying to get my ear. It isn't a hornet. There it is. Wow. It's made so I can hear from above, and so I can pick up down, get it out. Now, God goes in his wonderful way, and he has Israel go, as we shared in Exodus and all that, little by little. They don't have to go against Goliath right off. They go with the lion, the bear, and then Goliath. God is going to help the people of Israel so they don't have to grow up in 1 minute. We are allowed to grow up in our physical being, in our spiritual being, to grow up. And now and then we have to face things that seemed ahead of us, schedule, but sometime, if God allows it, God knows we can handle it, or he'll help us through it. Now, so little by little they're going to fight, and they don't have to fight everybody at once, and all the problems and all the plagues and everything that lies ahead in the future, that God is going to work all things together for good. Going down the corridor, God allows us to fumble along inch by inch as we go down the corridor. Otherwise, we'd never make it. It'd be overwhelming. You remember that without getting too sidetracked. Here's Israel when Exodus, and the Exodus out of Egypt could have gone right up the coast from here. They are at the end of the Mediterranean, right on the end, Mediterranean seas right out here. They could have gone right up Gaza, right up into the land, nothing to it. But what did you say, God? The people of Israel have been slaves. They were not ready for war. If they went up the coast, they'd hit the Philistines straight on. And they were not ready to go to war like that. So God took them across the Red Sea. Now, having said that, so little by little by little, and God does that. So then now they're ready to go across in the Numbers 13 and that. They're able to go across after Mount Sinai to go Kadesh Barnea, and able to go into the land. But they don't. And the 12 spies came back, as you know, all those things. And the 12 spies came back and said, we can't. 10 of them said, we can't. Now, what is the issue that I want to pick up to understand right now? So therefore, Numbers chapter 13, knowing it all, I'm going to pick up just a little bit of context. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said to Caleb, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, the 10 spies. They didn't bring up the true one, they brought up a false one, which they searched, and they, of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, what? The land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw, S-A-W, saw in it, are men of great stature. Now, what were they doing in the journey up through there? They were looking at what they see. We walk by faith and not by sight. But they haven't got that. They're looking at what you see. Hang on. What are you seeing out there? When you look around, when you hear, read, think, whatever you do, work, home, school, what do you do? What are you seeing? Again, Verse 33. And there we saw, that's again, they're using their eyeballs, and the giants, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they're looking at the walls, the giants, the chariots of iron, and all of those different things, and they're looking at them. And the enemy is looking with their eyes. So it's eyeball to eyeball. That's what they're doing. And they're going. And the Israelites see themselves as little nothings, and the giant and the Philistines, they see themselves as giants, as able to take the people of Israel like nothing. It's all a visual movement. And a visual movement in the light of everything doesn't come out good. Because when we look at things visibly, we can only see them visibly. We can only understand them visibly. And we miss out. We lose out. Because that's all we see. What do we see? What do we understand? We're working with whatever's in our senses. And to the measure and degree we understand that is what we're going to go by. True. It's what we do. That's how we do it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, and so here's Israel, and they're going to go, and they're going to end up and for 38 more years in the wilderness, which they didn't have to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so they failed. They failed to pay attention to God, and they didn't look to God. Now, so Israel, they're going to get in the land. God, what are you going to do to help them? Over to Judges chapter 1, or chapter 2. Judges in chapter 2. And in Judges chapter 2, may I pick up the thought. May I go to verse 21 just to get the context a little. And I will also, said God, I will not henceforth drive out. Remember, little by little, they're in the land. They have the 12, they're in the 12 lots of the 12 for the 12 tribes. Each tribe has their own location. Verse 21. And I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. He got all the armies, got the kings, but didn't get all the rest of them. They all stayed. And God left them. God left it. God meant it that way. Because then they have to go and possess the land. That was up to the people when they had it. They were given the opportunity. It was their piece of property. They were to drive out the idolaters and the idolatry. So when we come to Judges chapter 2, verse 22, that through them I may, with all the enemy there, the idolaters and stuff, that through them I may prove, put Israel to the test, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. I'm going to have to put them to the test. Now, why are you going to do that, God? Verse 23. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, quickly. Neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. And now it's going to give you the reason. Chapter 3. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Israel, is God, why didn't you fix everything? I wanted you to be able to be exercised properly to understand what you're up against and why you're still on earth. Israel isn't going to go, at that point, isn't in a perfect world. They're to be a light in the middle of the world for the nations to see. Therefore, they have to be exercised to understand. All around them is the enemy. All around them is that which opposes and is against them. So they need to understand that. so that they can do the job properly in the midst of all kinds of opposition, etc. Now, so when we come to chapter 3, as you know, verse 2, I got to read verse 1. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel and has not known the wars of Canaan. They never went through all 7 years of war. They didn't go through it. They didn't even know. Did you know what the Vietnam War was? No, I don't know. Do you know what the... Well, I don't know. I never knew wars. See, the wars. They didn't know. So God, what are you going to do? Because the Father's business for his people, for his honor and glory, involves the business and the burdens and the battles. And you better understand, if you're going to serve the Lord and be part of his work and business, you're going to have to understand the battles and therefore the blessing that makes the battles work. The blessing is given to make sure everything works. That's what God does. Now, so therefore, verse 2, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. Now, you've got to understand the war. Now, I don't. Then that's the problem. So, God, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get to understand that they're in the, that we can't, this isn't a picnic. It isn't a nice thing where you, everything comes out nice, because you are in a world, the God of this world, going down the course to the tribulation, etc. And it isn't going uphill. History isn't going uphill. And if you ever wondered about history going downhill, all you got to do is pay attention to what's going on in our world today. Now, having said that little bit, so God, we've got to go. And so the question we ask is, what are you seeing? And how are you seeing it, as we just said a moment ago? And therefore, to what measure are you going to be able to overcome what you see, what you fear, what you don't understand? To what measure? Because you're going to be governed by what you're seeing, what you think, like it or not, that's what's happening. No way around it, unless I have another way to get through it. I need to understand, as we've been trying to do, God help us. Now, so having that little bit, and understanding that we aren't going to win unless we overcome, we've got to understand we don't walk by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. So here's the Father's business taking place, and all the things are there. And what do we know? The world we live in loves darkness. God is a light. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you become a little light. So therefore, you're a little light in the darkness. The darkness hates you. Now, when you come to know the Lord, John chapter 5, 24 and all that, we have passed from death unto life. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you're able to think about God, talk about God, and know God. Now, in a world that doesn't want to know God and wants to stay spiritually dead. So if you're going to have life, you're going to be surrounded by what? Death. And people don't want life. They don't want to hear about something because that would what? Because if what you say is true, then they're going to understand they're dead. And they don't want to have to think they're dead, because then they need to get saved. So they don't want to do that. So I'm not going to listen to you. Now, so therefore, here we are going, God, down the corridor. And in the process, darkness, light, righteousness, God's righteousness, and rightness, right? And we talk about right and wrong and all that. But when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does something wonderful for you. And he makes you righteous. Now, each of us could look in the mirror and look at each other. And if we're going to see righteousness, no, you see us in our old nature, saved, yes, but in our old nature. So, yeah, I'm going to see, And yet, you are righteous. You are wonderfully, wonderfully right before God in Christ, aren't you? You don't feel it. You don't even appreciate it, maybe. But it's true. And the world hates righteousness that you have in Christ. It's real. And so is all the rest of it. Even though we don't feel it or understand it, it's all true. But we're caught up in all the rest of this. Now, and we don't catch it. So therefore, God, here we are in the world, and God, you have made us light and life and righteousness. You made us good in your goodness. And now what we're surrounded with? Well, we're surrounded by the world system. And in the process of that, God's going to make you successful, bless you. We read it this morning, did that a little bit to remind us. And God's going to go and have us exercise our rightness with God. That's why we can talk to God, look to God, trust God. Not because of anything about us, because about his son, what he did. So we don't have to guess at it. Christ was crucified, buried, and risen again. Unquestionable. Unquestionable. And when we believe and receive him, taking in his word, God makes all of that become real in a most wonderful way for us so that we can practice it. So in the middle, as the son, we're to exercise our relationship to God as a son. And as we do so in the son, we enjoy the benefits of the Son of God, because he's going to go in you and outlive his life, which is what he's doing. Life, whose life is it? It's not yours, it's his. When I say life equals relationship, you have a relationship to air and breathing and your heartbeats, a relationship that's called physical life. You have a relationship to God that's called spiritual life. God in your heart. God, we're accepted, received him as our Savior. He places us in his Son. It's a marvelous thing. It's all done. All done. You don't have to dream about it. You make it happen. It just has happened in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that, as a son, so God, we have a wonderful Father. And you know all that from 2 Corinthians we did in 6 and 18, 19. I will be a father to them. I'll walk with them. I'll dwell with them. I'll be in them. I will be their father. That's what we're looking at, all those wonderful things. Now, having said that, God, that's going to do what? It's going to make for war, and we need to understand that. Now, in the process, Israel, God left it, and they didn't do well. They wanted a king to be like the other nations. For what reason? Among others, to be able to go to war. To be able to go to war. Someone to lead an army for them and protect them. When God was the protector, God was the one that gave them the victory. God was the one that fought for them. God would do it. But no, we need someone to do this for us, and that, and that's where we're looking at what happened. Now, having said that, so here's the war, and the war's inside of us, our old nature, and we did all those things. Now, and in the light of that old nature that we have, over, if you would please, to pick it up over in 1 Timothy. Just to pick that up quickly, so I don't get where we're going. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And remember, we're looking, and God's good looking, and war, and I'm moving quickly, so forgive me if I have too fast. Verse 18. 1 and 18 to 1 Timothy. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them, might war. The scriptures are given. He was to understand the scriptures, what God had said, and that thou mightest war a good warfare, that you might war a good warfare. That's what I'm looking for, to war. Now, and we shared that. We shared that the other day. Now, in the light of warring, we have a war in our soul. That's right. God wants us to understand the war. God wants us to be involved in winning the war. And the war is a good war. It's a good war. The word good is external good, not internal good, external good. Beauty of what you see, well, how you're seeing it, beauty, aha. The good war. Wow. Well, good war, yeah. Because here you are, surrounded by the enemy, darkness and death and unrighteousness and everything else. You're right in the middle of it. And there you are. And there you stand in God's grace. Impossible. Oh, no. No, that's what you're doing. You're right in the middle of the war. Right in the middle of it. And I want you to understand it so that you don't fall apart in it. It isn't going to be nice and nice and nicer and nicer. No, it isn't that. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. So I want you to understand, though, why I'm leaving you there, so that you can be a testimony to my saving grace in a good way. So God has given us his word, and we're able to go and look to God and trust God, and God is going to go and have that war. And you know, without taking time in that too much, think of the 2 Corinthians and chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. What are we going to do? Our weapon, the warfare we face, is not fleshly. Verse 3 and 4. We can't use guns and bullets. You can't do it. The kind of war you have to learn to fight is not by fleshly weapons. It isn't by what you see. You can't fight it because you can see it, and that can't do it. Think of James. The devil can attack you, but we don't punch the devil in the nose. We wouldn't even attempt to do that. No. God, what did you do to tell us to be able to handle the devil himself? Resist the devil. Resist. Stand fast. Put the armor of God on. Stand fast. And he will what? He'll flee away. He can't touch you. He can't touch you. I need to know that. Now, but so here. Here's the warfare. It's a beautiful warfare. A wonderful warfare. And God, you're doing it. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so now, secondly, over if you would, to chapter 6 again. And in chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. Remember, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight, combat. That's what we're looking at, contest. Think of the Olympic Games, the stadium, the crowds there, the crowds cheering, and often in the Roman kinds of arena and that. What did they do? The lions and the bears and the fires and burning and gladiators and Christians and what do we do with them? The awful Christians, we put them out there and let the animals and the swordsmen and everyone else do what they do. And we're all in the stands surrounding them, looking down. Wow. Looking down at the spectacle. Now, so here they are going. And that's the word fight, to be out there. And you'll notice it in verse 6, 12, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good, beautiful. Well, it doesn't look very good. Here's the little kid out there and a little lady and a man maybe. And here's the enemy and here's the lion and something. What kind of balance of fight is that? What kind of thing is that? That's a spectacle. The clouds all cheering. Wow. Wow. As it goes. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, fight the good fight of faith. God, the word the is in front of faith, the body of truth. B Be believing the body of truth that is to be believed. Be believing it. That's what to do. Don't go by sight. Go by what I said. What I tell you. That's why we keep reading and trying to understand. We're supposed to follow what he said. I need to understand. How does the battle go? How am I supposed to win? How am I supposed to come out of this thing? I can't do it by sight. Man, I'm going to read it wrong and come out wrong. No, I've got to understand. God has given us his word, and the enemy, casting down, think of back, 2 Corinthians 10 again, casting down every thought process that exalts itself against God. So God, am I thinking what I see? But hold it. Think of David. David's looking at the lion, and then he looks at God, and the lion's going to take a little old sheep, and David gets the lion, and David gets the bear. And so, David, when you come to this big giant Goliath, what are you going to do? The same thing I did with the lion and the bear. I looked to God, and God was bigger than Goliath. God was much bigger than Goliath. Wow. So, if I go by sight, the bear is going to, just think of it. I said to you guys, if you had a big polar bears are big. I mean, I don't want to. I wouldn't want to have to fight a grizzly bear, you know. I'd play dead and try on the big believer and tell them to go away. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to have to have God. I can't go by sight again. I'm going to look to God, and God's going to do a most wonderful thing in us. And the beauty, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith in the contest. It's a beautiful contest. It's an awesome contest. And then we are out there, spectacle of all spectacles. Why is it a spectacle? Because people killing people and wars doing wars and all of those things, then we can see and understand it. What can't we understand is when God, I'll give it to you easy, our Lord Jesus Christ for 3 1/3 years had a public ministry up and down the land that was trying to kill him, mostly. Always trying to catch him, kill him. You know what? And do you remember how many armies he had with him? Do you remember what he told Peter with the sword? Put it back in your sheath. God didn't need anyone. And God kept him until his hour came. And then he gave himself up to that time to be crucified. Otherwise, you weren't going to touch him. But he didn't have an army. He didn't have any prescriptions. He didn't have anyone to trust to, turn to, except God. And God in him was sufficient. Is that true for us? Absolutely. God in Christ, in you, if you're saved, is going to be God. Isn't he? He's going to be God. And as we shared this morning, he's the author of the plague and everything. See, you have to run anywhere or hide anywhere. What you have to do is recognize your unique relationship to God and thank him. See, so that the plague, the giants, whatever, what are they going to do? They're going to have to go against God. In you, aren't they? Isn't God, we said, 100, think of all the years we've done these things. God is running the whole forever, planets, stars, angels, everything is running it right now from your heart. Do you understand that? Because he placed you in his Son, in himself. And therefore, you are heirs and joint heirs with all that's going on. Right now. Right now. Wow. That's real. That's very true. That's awesomely true. That's what we're trying to get. That's the only way you're going to handle this. What's going on in our globe and our nation That's going to get a little more bumpy, I think. No, I hope not. Again. Now, so here we are looking at God. And in verse 12 again, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. In other words, God said you have eternal life, you pass from death unto life. Live it. Live it. Participate. You were called to be saved, called to represent God. It's your vocation. That's your new reason you get out of bed and go to bed, is because of that. So now, having said that, that's what you're going to do. You're going to go and exercise a wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful way, and you're to exhibit it. And in the exhibiting of that life, you're going to demonstrate to the world the marvel of God's grace in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. Now, you're going to recall, I'm just giving a couple of things to get to see this, I hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Corinthians were sort of sitting there snugly, and up Thessalonians up in North Greece were under persecution. The Grecians down and the Corinthians in the southern part of Greece were having just their thing, and they had their problems. And Paul tries, and the Spirit of God tries to address them, using Paul, to try to help them. Now, one of the things they had was understanding of their pride and all those different things, carnality and that. And so Paul, in the process of all of those, we come to verse 9, if I may. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Now, what did you say, Paul? Us apostles, Peter, James, John, Paul, here we are, and we are a spectacle. We are as men doomed to die, because we are put on exhibit in the arena. We are made a spectacle to be gazed at, to be made sport of, to be cheered in all that we were going through in the wrong way. Wow. And therefore, and the estimate of the world, and the world looking at us, angels, and world, the humans and the angels watching us. We are out there in the arena getting clobbered. We're trying to tell people about life and light and righteousness, and they make fun of us, sport of us, trying to kill us, and they all had their problems, just like the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And all of them are there, so they're going through all of this. They're out there, everyone's looking at them. Hang on, that's what they're doing. Wow. Having fun. It's a spectacle. There's other things you're going to have, but when you got the apostles, the believers, that are walking with God in the light, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, they're getting clipped. That's their understanding. That's what was happening. If you think it was a picnic, it wasn't. It wasn't a picnic at all. That's what's going down a little more. Chapter 4, verse 9. To angels and men, sliding down, if I can, to verse 13. We, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. God, here we are looking, and we are made in the estimation of the world, filth, garbage. That's how the world sees us. Christians want to be accepted. The world will never accept you not the world system, not if you're going to be light. If you want to have a wonderful position, you know, you're going to not have that. That's no offense, and that you don't need it either, by the way. If you're going to trust God, God will make you the head of Pratt & Whitney if he wants to. God can do whatever he wants, and no one's going to get in his way either. So now, here we are looking in verse 13 in that, and we are looking for the filth discarded by humanity. We're dirt, as it were, scraped off. People scrape the dirt off their shoes and off their pants. We're dirt. That's what Paul said. So when you look at us, if you think we got some picnic out here, we don't. We're out there, the spectacle of all spectacles, looking. Why are we so special? Because all of the darkness that hates us can never put out the light. And all the death that wants to swallow us up can't touch us. The life that we have is his. And to make us fit and fall and become nothing, think of Paul. Paul's going to say it in Philippians, as you know. What's he going to say? Philippians 3. I count my whole background as waste, as dung, in order that I might have the wonderfulness of Christ. And the world doesn't understand that. But all that the world is doing, it can't put out the light. It can't make you dead because you're alive. And it can even go and kill you, the lions and the fire and everything else. But it can't kill you. It can't do it. It can't do it. God said, don't worry about it. All they can do is take your heart and head and everything else. Don't worry about it. You want the body. You live inside the body. So don't go and make a big deal about the body. Don't do it. You're making the wrong thing. As you know, flesh and blood, what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So don't be counting on that. Don't worry about that. But, no, don't worry about it. So God, here we are looking, and an awesome thing that you're doing in a most wonderful way. Now, God, what are we going to do? Okay, over if you would please. Over to, let's do it a different way. Over to Colossians. And in Colossians, if I can, in chapter 3. You'll recall what God has done for you in the light of all that we're looking at. Now, so here it is, chapter 3, Colossians, sliding down in the light of the context to verse 3. For we are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The world wishes you were dead, but you're already dead. And, verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Now the trouble is, in the spectacle in the arena, you'd like to get rid of us. The world would like to see you disappear. Not religious. You can be religious all the way over to your head. But right, the righteousness of God, that is unacceptable. Because that makes us all wrong. If you have a righteousness from God, and we don't want to see it or hear it, then we're going to get rid of you because we're going to be convicted to our toes. So God, here we are looking. So God, your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. Now what an awesome thing it is. You're out there in the spectacle, in the arena, and we're trying to kill you, darkness and death and unrighteousness and evil, trying to crush you. But you're already dead. You're already dead in Christ. They can't touch you. You're already dead. And the life you now have is his. and that they can't touch. And that is the spectacle of all spectacles when it takes place. When God makes you and you understand and enjoy being more than a conqueror. Wow. Now, you got the hid to hid. Now, God, can you say that to me in a different way that will sort of stick to me a little bit? So let's go back to the Old Testament wonderful examples over to Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, if I may, picking up in thought. And you will notice, please, may I go, this is David. And verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Aha! When, verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell, and God kept David over and over again. That's why God prepared David. God prepared him with a lion and a bear and Goliath, so he could handle it. Think of all the stuff we've been through, all the battles, big battles with the tops of everything. Wow. And God, that's how we did it. How do we do it? We've been through it. Wow. Methodist Church and CEF and IFCA. How can you do it? Wow. Now, so therefore, if I can, in verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now, David, you're telling me what we're trying to look at anyway. We need to understand God, the Father's business involves battles and war, and we're to war the good warfare and fight the good fight. That's right. That's right. Verse 2, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. So God, you're the primary source of David's inspiration. Uh-huh. Verse 5. 4. In the time, here's the war, and everyone's after him, mostly, many times. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Verse 6. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I'm going to do that. Why? God's going to keep me. And you're looking. Are you going by sight, David? No, I'm going by faith. I'm looking to God. And God in the midst of a war that I can see. And the enemy I can see. And God I can't see. Isn't that Moses? Using Moses. Moses, isn't that how you did it? Hebrews 11. Moses, how did you ever endure? Seeing him who is invisible. What did you do, Moses? I looked at the invisible God that I couldn't see. We are in his presence right now. Uh-huh. Now, having said that, over if you would to Psalm 31. David again. David, help us. May I pick up, please, in the light of context, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Remember Genesis 1:31. Everything God made was very good. It was all going to come out. All going to come out good. No, it's going to come out great for his glory and honor. And oh, even the tribulation. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Uh-huh. For thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Now, God, what are you going to do? Verse 20. Then thou shall hide them in the secret of thy presence. all around our Lord Jesus Christ. They could even touch him, but they couldn't do any more than that. And here you are at work, at home, coming and going in the middle of the world. And God, in the process of it all, what? God, in you, if you're saved, doing what you do, trusting God, relaxing. You don't go anywhere if you don't relax. And you have to rest in order to relax. Hang on, we'll see if we won't get there. Now, and therefore, verse 19 again, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them, verse 20, in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of toil. God, you're able to keep us in the midst of the sewer itself. Absolutely. Do you believe that? That's the question. Do you believe that? Then you're going to walk like that. Walk by faith and not by sight. And don't get all hung up. That's what's happening. Not to you guys, but happening. All hung up. And the longer it goes, the more hung up they're going to be. Now, chapter 32. David again. You know it in verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me, surround me, enclose intensely around me. Thou shalt compass me, surround me with songs of deliverance. That's what you're going to do. I'm going to do that. The world hates it. God loves it to save us. God loves saving us. God loves surrounding us with deliverance. But we have to be believing. We have to give thanks so that if we fall into and God lets everything happen like in the coming up in the future, what do you know without turning there in Revelation 12 and that? What are the people going to do, the believers? They're going to trust God and the blood of Jesus Christ that saves them, and they're going to not have any concern for their life, and they're going to get killed. And they do not have any concern about dying. They're going to die. They said, God bless us. And they're going to die. But they do not love their life. Love their life over death. No, no, sir. Not at all. God, so what have we got? Well, God, we've got, you're surrounding us with songs of deliverance in order that we might be able to go forward. And I'm doing so. I love doing it. I love saving you. Oh, we love being saved. That's a question. Do we even understand being saved? That's what we have to do to get into the swing of it here. And that's what God's doing. And that's why for a thousand ways, God tells us what? Over in closing, Ephesians. We didn't get very far, but I hope you got a little bit. Hope you got a little bit to understand. There's a lot. Help us. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. In the midst of all of that, picking up, please, in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, very, very carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming, buying the time up, because the days are evil. So don't get caught up in the mood and the manner and the movement wrongly. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to have victory, you want to overcome. You can't do it without God. Jesus said it. Think of John 15 and that. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, how much can you do? Nothing. Can't do anything. But I will. No, you won't. No, you won't. I'll think about it. You can. As long as you think about it, it won't happen. You got to believe it. Otherwise, you're just thinking about it. And you can get up and bring a message and think about it. That's good. But it won't happen. You got to believe and trust God for it. Therefore, verse 9, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to God. Now, the verse 20 was what I was after directly. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are we going to do? Oh, we said it how many times? Practice thanksgiving. Practice it. Practice it. I said, I don't believe. Say thank you anyway. And begin to get in the mood, and God will start helping you to grow more than you are. Not that you aren't. And you'll grow, and you'll know. But you've got to understand God has already done something. And if you're waiting to feel it, understand it, you don't have enough lifetime. What you want to do is enjoy it. If I were to give you your favorite something right now, and if I could, had it, use your imagination, and I take your favorite something, and I'm going to take it from Friendly's. Remember Friendly's? Friendly's isn't friendly anymore. So here we are. Here's the Friendly's. And you take it, and there it is. Now, what are we supposed to do with it? Eat it. We aren't supposed to look at the menu. We aren't supposed to look at the picture. We're supposed to eat it. Eat it. God, you've already given us yourself. Here's the Sunday. Eat. Here's God and his word. Take it. You don't have to work at it. You don't feel it. You don't fool around with it. You just thank God that it is there. And you'll begin to take which is already given to you. You aren't going to work it. You aren't going to make it happen. It already has happened. When you got saved, all of these things happened to you. And you have to stumble along enough to let it happen in your life. That's why you got. That's why the wars, little by little, because we can't take a big war. We're struggling with a little virus. Let alone battle and opposition and lions and fire and persecution. If you live in an Islamic country, China, different ones, not China's communists, you went to all of them. They don't mess around, my dear friend. They don't mess around. Nope, they just eliminate you. Wow, that's what happens. Now, God, we're not facing that. No, we're struggling through a little bit of something, trying to get a handle on it. And God, you're running the show from our life, from the assembly, from wherever the believers are. And so believers are blessed, absolutely. And they're blessed, and they bless God. God makes it all going to work. God, is it going to work out? Absolutely. Blessed be God. Blessed be God for doing it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, thank God, pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And we thank you for caring. We thank you, God, help us inch by inch to get it. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.